Let's listen to God's word together. And we're going to listen to a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. The words are going to come up on the screen to help you follow this. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's turn to the Bible if we can. If you want to pick up a Bible, I presume that many of you will have a Bible at home, and we'll just spend a few minutes looking at God's word together. So if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 1. Some of you will be wondering now, how long is he going to speak for? I wondered whether we would make it normal time or whether we would go short. Let's just see how it pans out, shall we? You've not got anywhere else to go this morning, I suspect, so you know, and you may be a bit of a captive audience, so I'll try not to take advantage of you. Let's pray before we look again at God's word. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're going to think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. It is Mother's Day today, and I was thinking a little bit about what mother could we look at. And I thought we'd look at the mother of John the Baptist. What a special man he was. Some of us are great fans of John the Baptist, I know. But I thought we'd look at Elizabeth because it's a great story of doubt and faith. There we have the kind of this couple, this older couple, and we're talking about older people all the time. And it's important to remember that when we talk about the older members of the community, they are people. You know, they have value. They're not. You know, we want to look after them and protect them. They are precious, and we want to honour them, and we want to put them in a special place. That's why we want to make sure they're protected. That's why those of us who are young men like me and young women need to be keeping an eye on those who are old and protecting them and making sure that we're not spreading, at risk of spreading this virus around. So that's the first thing to say this morning as we think about Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had this amazing calling by God to be the parents of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus himself. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God calls older people into that precious place of ministry. But there's a kind of contrast in there, isn't there? There's a contrast with Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a key worker of his day. He was a priest in the temple. He had great heritage, great history. That's the writer of the gospel goes to great lengths to try and make sure that the readers understand that. There's this priest called Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. So this guy was a really significant, he had significant spiritual history. He was a priest in the temple. But he and his wife were unable to conceive. And Zechariah's division of priests was on duty in the temple. And they had this kind of system whereby when you were on the rota, you remember rotas? We have no rotas in church at the moment. It's all done by volunteers. A few folk that we've got to come in this morning, we've volunteered to do it. But rotas are all suspended. Well, it's good to know, it's comforting to me to know that rotas were something that go back, well, a long, long, long time. And there, 2,000 years ago, Zechariah's group, his division of the priests, were on the rota to be on duty in the temple. But more than that, some of them got to have a special role, and the special role was to go into the Holy of Holies, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And only one person could do that, and they did it by drawing lots. And once you'd done it once, you never got to do it again. It was the kind of thing that you just did once in your lifetime, probably. We think that's the case. So it was a kind of great honor, and it was done by a lottery, basically. So there's Zechariah. He's kind of put into the special place of being able to go into the temple to burn the incense. So off he goes to fulfill his duty. He was probably a little bit proud about it. You know, getting, I don't know what the equivalent would be in the church world today, being made a bishop or an archbishop or something. He's put in a kind of special place, and he's sent on his way into the temple. And everyone is outside, and they'd gathered and they've assembled outside. And he goes in to the temple. And as he's in the temple, an angel of the Lord appears to him, which, of course, whenever we come into church, that's a fairly frequent occurrence. Not. It's a kind of unusual thing to happen. And even for someone like Zechariah, that was unusual. How do we know it's unusual? Because in verse 11, it says, when Zechariah saw the angel standing at the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Startled and gripped with fear. Because that's what angels do to you. You know, we have this idea that angels are kind of just a friendly, someone who comes alongside you and it's all nice. But in the Bible, when angels appear, it's a kind of cause of concern. Yeah, an angel comes present. And Zechariah, now the interesting thing for me is that Zechariah was a priest in the temple. You would have thought he might have been a little bit more familiar with this. But no, the angel has appeared. He's gripped with fear. But do you notice what the angel says to him? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. So we're living in a strange time, aren't we? And one of the things that maybe we're struggling with is the whole fearfulness about what lies ahead. Some people are really struggling. Someone was saying to me last night, I'm an extrovert. It's all very well for you introverts, but I'm an extrovert. I'm going to find this really hard. Someone said to me several times over the last few weeks that they were born for such a time as this because they've been training all their life as an introvert not to have any interaction with people. And for some people, it will be very comfortable. For others, it will be very uncomfortable time. And there will be some who will be afraid. They're afraid that the world is changing or might change or they might be worried about their pension and the way that this is affecting the economy. It's a time of fear. But maybe it's a time when the world stops a little bit and we begin to reflect on what's important. And we look again at spiritual things, and maybe we think, well, maybe there's something in this that's worth exploring. Maybe it's what used to be called the fear of God. Maybe we need to be thinking about that. And it begins not with the unbelievers doing that. It's us who are believers that maybe we need to be in that place of saying, you know, I need to be believing in what the Lord has said. You see, the angel says to Zechariah, do not be afraid, because the stuff you've been praying for, well, it's going to pass all these times. I think there's an indicator in there that maybe Zechariah had stopped praying. He and his wife, it just hadn't happened for them, and they'd stopped praying. He'd stopped praying. I don't think Elizabeth had, the mum-to-be, had stopped praying. I think Zechariah is a holy man, a righteous man, had stopped praying for that thing. He just hadn't seen it coming, and he just struggled. And that's okay to struggle, isn't it? Even if we're people of faith. I've been saying that a lot this week. I've had a little bit of a wobble myself, at least 2 or 3 days this week. It's been a bit of a wobble. It's been hard to work out what's going on. I've been talking a lot about that verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat is up against many enemies and he doesn't know how they're going to fight and how they're going to stand against the enemies that are crowding in on his people. And he cries out to the Lord and says, we don't know what to do, but we look to you. And I've been reminded again and again, in the midst of everything that is happening, we need to be doing that. We need to be people who are looking to the Lord. We don't know what to do. We don't have answers. And we'll come up with ideas about what to do one day, and then the next day something will change. We see that with the government moving and shifting. And in the midst of that, it would be easy for us to degenerate into a place of fear. But again and again, you know, the thing that Jesus says to his disciples is this thing that the angel says to Zechariah. Jesus said all the time, do not fear. You're in the midst of a storm on a stormy lake. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, I am with you. That might be one of the watchwords for those of us who are believers. It's maybe something that we share with people, that the Lord is not absent from what is happening around us just now. So the angel speaks that word directly into Zechariah. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to bear your son, and you're to call him John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. The thing about John the Baptist that we know about, one of the things we know about him is he preached the message of turning back to the Lord. Come on, everybody, come back to the Lord. He loves you. Turn back, turn away from the things that screw you up and make a mess of your life, and know that you're loved and come back to him. And that's what he was great for, because he had that great message of being able to be in relationship with God, of seeking forgiveness of sins. I mean, appearance-wise, he was a bit of a mess. You know, we know he wore the skins of animals and ate locusts and stuff. He was somewhat unusual, but that was his power. He wasn't the same as the rest of people. He kind of lived out the life of being a person who followed God. He was determined to do that. but he would be a joy and delight. Why was he a joy and a delight? Was it because he was simply a nice person, a lovely person? It's because he had the most wonderful message. Turn away from sin and turn back to God. That is possible. And he lived his life out in a way that was significantly different from those that were around him. So Zechariah is someone of faith. He hangs in there. He's a person who is trying to do his best. And his son is going to be such a significant figure. And we're told in verse 17, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and make ready a people prepared for God. We've moved into this kind of really difficult phase of all of this with the schools closing on Friday. Lots of children are going to be at home. Kids are going to have time on their hands. Parents are going to have to work out how to do childcare. How's that all going to work? It's going to be really hard for people. And I think one of the things that we can pray for is that actually maybe we'll be able to warm up our relationships with our kids. Really interesting, isn't it? Again, you know, you've probably been more on the phone and more on Facebook and FaceTime with your relatives, with your children and with your parents, if your parents are still with us, and keeping in contact with them. It's when a crisis comes that suddenly our heart turns on to the need for community and we reach out to those who are closest to us. Maybe that will be a great thing that God will do, that sense of family. Will grow in commitment. Even though we may not be able to be with one another physically, we'll go on the phone and we'll ring someone up. Maybe that's something to do today. Ring up someone in your family. Make sure if your mum is still with us, to give her a ring and to make her know, help her to know that she's loved and be an encouragement to her. But maybe the other thing we do is we call someone that we wouldn't normally call, maybe someone we haven't talked to for ages, and just give them a ring to say, look, I've been thinking about you, I care about you. That's one of the signs the Holy Spirit is at work in us, isn't it? That we kind of warm up to people and we listen to what the Lord is saying and we're obedient to him. But then Zechariah verse 18 does this. He says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. So this is one of the indicators that maybe Zechariah had given up on this. He was full of doubt. Now, doubt is okay. It's permitted. It's allowed in the life of believers. You know, it's part of everyday living, and we can become cynical, and we can become scornful. Maybe religious people get caught up in that. Here's the guy that had been given the honor of going into the temple, but he didn't really believe in the thing that he had been praying for in the past. And his fear is clearly gone at this point. He's been fearful of the angel, but then the angel speaks to him, and he's a bit less fearful about him. But how do we know that? Because he asked that question. Oh, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, my wife is well on in years. And notice what the angel says. The angel says, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. You know, so he's coming with authority. You know, it's interesting when people speak with authority. They kind of mean it. You know, the angel means what he says. I kind of think it's a bit like the NHS. When NHS put out their advice to us, that they kind of mean it, and we probably should listen to what that is being said, that we should take it seriously and not be that individualistic kind of, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't really care. No one's going to be the boss of me. We have to kind of listen to those voices of authority. We can question them as well. Of course we can do that. But we need to be careful, particularly at a spiritual level. If God is saying something to us, that we are being obedient to it. One of the difficulties we've had in the last week is having to close church. I know some people, I've been hearing about people getting upset about the church being closed and how we should be standing against the tide of church closures and so on. And I felt that. That's maybe partly why I was wobbling so much. Everything's out the window. No church at Easter. None of the things we would do to outreach the Easter fun day on Easter Saturday, gone. The visiting people and giving people invitations, gone. We can't do it because we've got nothing to invite people to other than here. Maybe we need to put invitations out around the community to that. But it's been really difficult. There's been a sense of bereavement and there's been a sense of grief in that we're not able to do the things that we once did. And that applies across the board. Everybody's going to be in the same place. And, you know, the thing about that is when people tell us how we should lead our lives and what we need to be doing now, we might struggle against it. But, you know, the church closing, the reason we closed the church isn't because we're frightened. of this illness. You know, Christians have got a long history of running into trouble, running towards danger. We don't run away from it. But we have to balance that. You know, how can we help people? How can we do the best thing for people? And we want to do that. We want to make sure that we're helping people. If you need your shopping done, if you give us a call, we'll find a way of doing that. If you need help, we'll find a way of doing that. This is one of the things that we have to do. But we have to balance that not being fearful of what is around us and what is happening with the need to love our neighbors. So we have one or two senior citizens in our congregation, and more than one or two, and we have a duty of care to look after them. And you know, last Sunday when we met, the church was pretty busy, and I'd speculated that we wouldn't have many people here, but the church was pretty busy, and it was almost like the Blitz spirit. We're not going to give in. We're going to keep on meeting, and we love each other, and we care for one another, and we're going to keep on being here. So at one level, I was totally proud that so many people came out. I thought, this is great that people have come out. But then I realized on reflection what people were doing. I think people knew what was coming. They kind of were anticipating that we were going into this new phase, and they wanted to make sure they were there for that, what will be the last Sunday for a little while anyway. And I kind of admire that people were strong enough to do it. But we need to love one another enough to say, you know, we're not going to meet just now because we want to shield you and we want to protect you. It's not because we're frightened. We're doing it out of love and care and consideration. So Zechariah is faced with this. He has to kind of realize that he is under the authority of God. And the angel says, look, because you've said this, there's going to be a bit of a problem for you. There will be many women listening to this who probably hope that this might happen now and again to their husband. I know a woman who's close to me who probably would like that. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the baby comes, basically. Some folk would just think that's great if their husband was had to shut up. Some folk, of course, would prefer their husband to speak. You know, it's that old West of Scotland thing where you don't need to know, I don't need to say that I love you. I don't need to say I love you, you know it anyway. So I know that that's not always true, but if you're a man like me, I like to speak, and sometimes I need to shut up. Anyway, Zechariah is told he is going to be silent until the baby comes. And of course, what's happening outside is the people are waiting. And he comes out. Now, it's a little known fact, but actually this is where the game of charades was first invented on this day. I'm pretty sure you're not aware of that, but we get evidence of that. When he came out, verse 22, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So it's actually quite a comic scene. He's trying to explain to them. Can you imagine? How would you explain? I've seen an angel, you know, flapping your arm. I don't know what you would do. You could try that at home if you're with somebody else. You try and work out what the charade would look like if Zechariah was telling Elizabeth. What would they be doing? But he comes out and people realize because he's been so long in the temple, he's taken a lot more time than normal to do the job that he needed to do. And so he is struck dumb because of his lack of faith. He's kept quiet because of the struggle that he'd had. And then we come to the end of the passage, and this is where we talk about Elizabeth. And he returns home to his wife in silence. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, verse 24, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. I thought, wow, that's interesting. That's a tradition, isn't it? That's what you did. You got pregnant, you went into seclusion. That's what the culture did. You know, you were on your own. And I thought, as I read it, wow, some of us are going to have to learn what that looks like for the next wee while. And we're mourning like mad about it, that we're going to be in seclusion. Well, this, you know, seclusion doesn't mean that life ends. It means that we have time for other things that we need to do. Things around the house. I was in seclusion this week. I thought I better clean the patio this week. I really didn't want to clean the patio, but out came the power washer and began to. There's stuff that you can do in seclusion that, you know, you maybe would put off and put off and put off. Maybe there'll be big changes in around our houses because we're trying to do more DIY and stuff going on. But there's also this other thing that goes on, and maybe this time when we are not able to be together, maybe there's an opportunity for us just to draw aside from our everyday life and to spend more time with the Lord, to be reading the Bible, to be praying, to be seeking God, to be asking questions, to going online and not just watching Netflix. Netflix is going to slow down anyway, so it's probably not delving into it too much. But actually using resources online to connect with the Lord and to learn and specifically to pray. We are in this day of prayer, and I really want to encourage us all to be doing that. So Elizabeth goes into seclusion, partly because of tradition, but she got ready for the baby to come. But notice what she said in verse 25. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." You see, to be childless in first century Jewish culture wasn't viewed as a good thing. It could be viewed because of that you weren't with child because of sin or because you weren't close to God and God wasn't going to bless you. And so she'd lived her life in a place of embarrassment and concern and trouble. But what she does, she recognizes that it's the Lord that's done this. It's not her and Zechariah alone. It's the Lord that's in the middle of this. He has shown us his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And so when we pray right now, then we pray that the Lord would show his favor on the NHS. Would the Lord show his favor on teachers and on children and families as they struggle? Would the Lord show favor on government as they try and make decisions? I was talking to one of our MSPs during the week and just hearing about the pressure that the politicians are under to try and do something that is going to help as many people as possible and to stop people falling through the cracks. Lord, would you show favor on those who are leading our nation just now? And may whatever happens, may our desire be to see God being glorified. You see, this was all a forerunner to Jesus coming. You know, John the Baptist would have this ministry and point to one who was greater than him. The one who's greater than him was Jesus Christ. Jesus would come to take away the sin of the world. All John could do was say, turn away from your sin. He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't solve the world's problem, but Jesus can. You know, the Jesus who says, do not be afraid. He said it to his disciples constantly. Do not be afraid. I think he says that to us now. Do not be afraid. Trust in him. So I hope these words are helpful to you this morning as we contemplate what is happening around us. Maybe look to God. We don't know what to do. We do not know what to do, but we look for him. We look at him. May God help us to do that in these days when we cannot meet face to face. Amen.